Well, welcome to Easter in your pajamas. I have to admit, this is a little strange. I've never had Easter like this, but hey, we're rolling with the punches.
That's right.
We're doing whatever we have to do to keep our thing going. So we are so glad that you joined us from all over, wherever you are at. For those that are in Longview, hey, we love you. We're so glad that you could join us. For those of you that are not in Longview or not blessed enough to live in God's favorite place on the planet, we're still glad that you're here. We want to thank you so much for joining us online today. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have a home church, make this your home church or find a good one to get in. But in the meantime, we're glad that you could be a part of this. We want to turn your attention to a couple things, specifically in your Bible, Hebrews 12 and 1 Peter 4. You almost got me. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. Put a marker there in 1 Peter 4. Turn over to Hebrews 12. As we turn into God's Word, I want to thank you for a couple of things. Number one, those of you that are part of High Ridge Longview, your generosity, your giving, your tithes and offerings, thank you so much for being a faithful and a generous church. We've been able to do so much during this crazy COVID-19 crisis, and that's only because of your generosity. One of the cool things that we're doing, I wanted to share this with you, we're able to provide Easter breakfast for Highway 80, our rescue mission here in town. So that's awesome. We've never been able to minister to someone else except in a normal church setting. So being able to do that on Easter Sunday is a big deal for us, but we're providing breakfast for you guys. We love all of our friends and special people down there at Highway 80. Also to Longview Community Ministries, we're helping you guys out this week. I love that. I love that we get to be a part of helping those that are shut in or that perhaps are not as privileged as some others are. Thank you so much. Church, that's because of your generosity. And if this is not your home church, please don't send your tithes and your offering checks to us. If you have a home church, make sure that it goes to them. Many churches are not able to get online. We want to make sure that those churches survive and that they're able to come back and bounce back from this thing, because we know for sure this thing is going to end. And when it ends, churches are going to be stronger than they have ever been because of people just like you. I also want to share some exciting news. We have partnered up with thousands of churches across this planet with Unite 714. You can check it out at unite714.com, but it's a major prayer initiative that has hit this world, and we believe in the power of prayer here. Yes. We believe that when God's people begin to pray, stuff happens. Yes. And so we want to make sure that you know about that. Check it out online. We'll have some more updates on that as we come close to doing that together. And as we're turning to God's Word today, I want you to know that I know it doesn't feel normal, but what is normal, right? Yeah. What is normal anymore? I've been carrying a hand sanitizer in my pocket for 3 weeks now. This is like the third bottle I've been able to find this, and I've got more hand sanitizer on my hands than I've ever had in my lifetime. I'm trying desperately not to touch my face, and do you have any idea how hard it is not to touch your face when you have a beard? Right. How do you get around that? Plus, we've got, I've cooked every single thing that I possibly know how to cook. I'm out of ideas. I have nothing else left in my repertoire to cook. I've never done as many dishes as I'm doing right now. You can ask my wife. This is true. I'm doing a lot of dishes. Just stay busy. That's the new normal, I guess. Doing dishes, maybe that's our new normal. Gained 15 pounds from the quarantine 15. How many people can say amen to that? We know. There's a reason why we're wearing our Easter pajamas, and that's because nothing else would fit right now. But, what is normal? You know, I love the story of Easter. It is truly one of the most amazing times of the year, even if it's not normal. We have to remember also that at the very, very first Easter, it was not a normal time. It was anything but normal. As a matter of fact, Jesus had been crucified. The hope of him becoming this great leader that people had, it was all dashed when they saw him crucified on a cross, even though Jesus told them it was going to happen. Still, people were just devastated by what happened, very much as they are today. They were quarantined in their homes. People were being persecuted. They were scared because Jesus was dead. People that they thought would never turn away from Christianity turned away. Peter himself walked away from the faith. Judas betrayed Jesus. Our pets' heads are falling off. Everything that could go wrong had gone wrong. And that moment, the first Easter, the miracle of God came upon the scene. And I believe that we are living in a time of fantastic and great miracles. In spite of all the things that are going on, God is still doing amazing things. We get the privilege of hearing the wonderful things that God is doing all across our planet, and it is the time for miracles. I'm so glad that in spite of all the suffering that is going on in our world right now, that God's Word doesn't hide suffering from us. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down this way. God's word never hides suffering from us, but enables us to stand strong through it. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have the authority of God's word that we can fall back on when times get tough, when it's not normal. And so I wanted to bring you a message today called How to Get Through When You're Going Through. How to keep going when life throws you curveballs. We're in the middle of a crazy time. Things that you never thought would happen are happening, and it's crazy. But thankfully, God's word doesn't leave us at just, it's crazy. It gives us wisdom. It gives us the secrets of the kingdom of heaven to be able to stand strong and to love well through even the most crazy of times. And so Hebrews 12, the book of Hebrews was written to the Jews that were under heavy persecution. They were quarantined in their homes. They were afraid. They were freaked out. They were seeing and hearing of crazy reports that were happening all over the place. And the writer of Hebrews writes this fantastic book and speaks right to them right where they are. And it talks to them about suffering. And it gives a fantastic picture of where we can turn when life gets crazy, when we're not doing well, when things aren't normal. And I love that as it pours these things into our hearts, that they're not just spoken to those people, but they speak right to us today. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the Hall of Faith. It lists these wonderful pioneers of the faith, and it talks about how they persevered. And that's a word that we don't like to use very much anymore, the word perseverance, and to persevere, because nobody likes suffering. Nobody likes when you don't know what to expect and things get hard. But the Bible is very, very clear that suffering is part of life. Yeah. And so we better learn how to deal with it, because this is not the last trial that you're going to walk through. Yes. And your kids need to know what happens when life gets tough. And so I want to give you five keys of how to get through what you're going through. And they come to us from Hebrews chapter 13. And it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Man, that's a powerful statement right there. The sin that so easily entangles us. It goes on to say, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. Your Bible may say the author and the finisher of our faith. I like that, saying he didn't just start this, he's going to end it. Yes. There is an end to all this. He's the author, the finisher of our faith. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. He's saying that Jesus is the perfect example of what to do during times of suffering. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, in this world, you will have trouble. Yeah. It's a guarantee. You're going to have not normal days. You're going to have times of suffering. It's part of life. But I love that it doesn't just leave us there. It says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The beautiful story of Easter is that Jesus overcame the world and everything in it, death, hell, the grave, sin, once and for all. He has overcome all of it. And that's the beauty of the story that we're celebrating today. Yes. Take heart. Mm-hmm. I've overcome the world. That's really my heart and my mission today is to get you to take heart, to find some encouragement, to realize that Jesus overcame the world. And because he did, I have the perfect example to look to when I'm facing life's storms and trials. Yeah. Take heart. I've overcome the world. I want to give you five keys to get through what you're going through. And I think that if you'll take these and put them to heart, I think it'll help you a lot. And the first, like the writer says here, is to remember, number one, that you have an audience. He says we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. If you've ever been into a large arena or maybe a huge stadium, you know what it's like when he uses that word, a great cloud of witnesses, because it just seems like at some point that there's so many people packed into this place, this huge stadium or arena, that they just become like this faceless cloud. Yeah. And he says, you know, if you're only seeing through your natural eyes, you won't see the beauty of what's happening around you. And in reality, there's the huge throng of people that are cheering you on. And they're not just people, they're pioneers of the faith. You know, as he uses the word, this great cloud of witnesses that are watching you, he uses a Greek word there. The Greek word is martus, which means an eyewitness, someone that is seeing you with their own eyes. And it goes beyond what we would just call an eyewitness. The word is, it's much deeper than that. It's saying someone is watching you, but the person is someone that has been there where you are. Yeah. Wow. and that brings me a lot of hope when I realize that even though I'm in uncharted territory, God's not. And God's people that came before me, they're not. They've actually run this race just like I have. They've seen it, and they're cheering us on, saying, hey, you did it, and we did it first.
Yes.
You can do this. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Just because you don't know where this is all going doesn't mean that God doesn't. This is important for us to understand that there's a great cloud. There's an audience that's watching us, that's cheering us on. You know, this social distancing thing that we're having to do gives us an overwhelming sense of loneliness at times. It makes you feel like you're so disconnected from people. And he's writing this to a group of people that felt really incredibly distant, that felt alone. They say, no, you're not alone. You've got a great cloud of witnesses. And cheering crowds, you know, they bring out another gear. They really do. I remember when I played high school football, and our football team was god-awful. It really was. It was bad. We did not score often, and as a matter of fact, I don't know if we ever scored very much at all, especially not with me on the field. It was bad. But I remember one time in one specific game, we had a huge game against some rival, and I remember my family and my friends were there, and I was fortunate enough to be playing in the game, and I remember that there was a fumble, that our team fumbled, and the ball just by some stroke of great luck, bounced right to me. And so I'm sitting here blocking my guy. I turn around, that ball bounces right to me. So I grab it, and I do one little move, and the guy that was covering me, he falls. And then all of a sudden, I hear my people screaming, run. And you think that in that moment, of course, you're going to know what to do. But I'm so shocked that the ball ran right towards me. I'm thinking, I don't remember which way we're supposed to be going. But I ended up taking off running, and thank God I ran the right way. I actually ended up scoring, but I didn't realize I was that fast. I've always been pretty fat for a fast guy. But in that moment, with my family and my friends cheering me on and screaming their heads off, and plus being a part of a team that never scored, this was a fantastic time. I remember, you will never see the dance that I did, because we didn't get to celebrate a lot. But you know, cheering crowds, they'll bring out the best in you. When you realize that there are people that are cheering you on, it brings out a different gear. You run like you don't even realize your own limitations. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to convey to Christians that are walking through a difficult time. He's like, hey, we're cheering you on. You're not alone. And that's something that we have to remember as we're walking through uncharted territory. You're not alone. You've got a great cloud of witnesses. And that's why it's so important that even though we're not able to be with you together, it's important that you get into a group, that you're part of our tribes. If you're with us, High Ridge Tribes are great. We've got people that are joining in different tribes all throughout the week. And they're from all over the world. It's crazy. But they're coming together and they're sharing the love of Jesus and fellowshipping the best way that we know how. But that means something. We do this together. We cheer each other on. And if you're a group leader, if you're a tribe leader, man, make sure that your people understand that, hey, we're pulling for you and that you're not alone.
That's right.
Yeah. Keep that in mind. You have to remember that you've got an audience.
Yeah.
Here's a second thing that I think is important for us to remember when we're walking through a storm, when you're walking through a heavy trial, and that's number two, lighten your load. The writer here says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles. I wrote it down this way, that the worst thing that you can bring into a trial is sin. It's sin. Because it makes the trial a lot longer than it has to be. It makes it worse than it has to be. And I think for some of us, this may be a revelation to you, but you're home, you're stuck, you feel like everything in the world is going wrong, and perhaps some of those things are not just bad luck, and some of those things are not just because we have a bad economy, but some of them are, you brought them on yourself with bad decisions, bad choices. I want to encourage you, you have a fantastic and amazing God that's given us this wonderful gift called grace. And if there ever was a time to fall upon the grace of God, it's now. Easter is a wonderful testament to the grace of God that covers every single mistake. So don't make this trial worse than it has to be by bringing sin into the picture. Anything that is displeasing to God, anything that you know is wrong, let's let those things go. Let's ask for forgiveness. My dad used to tell me to keep short accounts with God. Shout out to my dad. I know he's probably watching. That's something that stuck with me all of my life. If you mess up, if you make a mistake, don't let days or weeks or months pass by before you ask God for forgiveness. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But the worst thing that you can bring into a trial is sin. Lighten the load. You know, it's a crazy thought, but this is true. You know, the runners that this guy is talking about in Hebrews chapter 12, these Greek runners, the first Olympians, they ran naked. Now, I don't want that image to be stuck in your mind, but it's true for maximum speed. How many people are weighed down with things that you just don't need?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that being in quarantine has taught us, that there's a big difference between what you thought was essential and what isn't essential.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that we allow into our life because we think that they're essential, that they're just not.
Yeah.
This has this virus and this being quarantined and dealing with this has this underlying current of telling us that some things just, they don't matter. This is a great time to choose what's best. And God's way is always best. Lighten your load. Lay aside every weight. And the third thing that I think is important is that we persevere together. Persevere together. You know, he says, let us run with perseverance. Us, not just you. Us. It's so important in this time where we're walking through a trial that we realize that, number one, we're not alone, but number two, that there are other people that feel really alone. And I have found that if you get your eyes off of your own situation and start helping out someone else, the Bible says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Yes.
And some of the greatest things that we can do is to help other people walking through a trial. You'll find that in those situations, you become the hands and the feet of Jesus. And it's amazing what God does when you take up his cause, when you help somebody to get through what they're going through. Let's persevere together. You know, the race isn't won by getting to the finish line first in this particular race. It's getting to the finish line with as many people with us as possible.
Yeah, so good.
Don't leave anybody behind. We push on together. There's a great quote that says, when you're going through hell, keep going. Mm-hmm. Don't get stuck here. And don't let anybody else get stuck either. Remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint. It's not going to just be over in a day. When this thing is over, we're going to look back and say, man, I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was. And I was able to bring some other people through this as well. This is not the time to just sit down and watch some more Tiger Kings on Netflix. I'm looking at you. This is the time to reach out to people and make sure that they're okay. There's people that are having a difficult time persevering, and let's pull them through together. Encouragement has never been more needed than it is right now. Here's the fourth thing that I want to encourage you with. The writer tells us to fix our focus. Fix our focus. It says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, it said, that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, I wonder, are the things that you're setting before yourself really bringing you joy? I wonder if maybe some of the anxiety and the fear that you're feeling is because of what you're setting before you. You know, it tells us that Jesus is a wonderful example here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. Get your head up. Look to Jesus. You know, we get to this place where we're looking around at everything that could go wrong, and it ends up becoming just like Peter when he steps out of the boat and he's wanting to walk on water, but he's so distracted by looking at all the ways that he starts to sink and drown. And in that moment, Jesus reaches down his hand to him and pulls him back up. You know, we get so easily distracted. The word anxiety in the original language of Greek, when it deals with anxiety, we talked about this last week, means to be scattered in all kinds of different directions. And that's so easy for us to fall into this pattern of allowing so many things to distract us and to pull our focus and pull our eyes off of Jesus. When it says looking to Jesus or fixing your eyes on Jesus, I love the Greek word there that tells us this, the word apharao, which means to stop looking at everything else and to focus on one thing intently. To get your eyes off of everything else and to focus on one thing intently. You know, in order to focus on Jesus, you're going to have to turn some other things off. Some things just, they're not important. They're definitely not more important than your walk with Christ. You know, failure to focus is the promise of failure. And I believe that with all my heart. If we can't focus, I guarantee there's failure there. Because you're distracted and anxiety takes over. When my son was in second grade, I wanted to share this story with you. And I asked him before, hey, is it okay if I share this story? He said, I want to hear it because I don't want you to broadcast this out to the world. But actually, he gave me full permission. So anyways, he was in second grade and I got a call from his teacher. And his teacher says, we need some help here with your son. I'm like, you just tell me what he has done and he will feel the wrath of daddy. Because I love our teachers. I'm supporting of our teachers. My wife was a teacher for 19 years? crazy. How do we get that old? We're not that old. I don't want to do anything for 19 years except live. But I support our teachers, and I got this call from my son's teacher. You know, he's in second grade, and she's like, he just won't focus. He just won't focus, and he just won't give me his attention. I just can't get him to focus. And I'm like, okay, I will come up there if I have to. I will be that dad that walks into that class, and I will walk with him from every single class if I have to. I will sit down right next to him. I will grab his chin, and by God, he is going to focus on you. He has to learn. And so I walk into my son's class that day, fully expecting my son to be unfocused and for me to have to grab his chin and be daddy in that moment. But you know what I found out when I walked into his classroom? I just looked around and I saw him sitting at his desk, and I realized she had his desk facing out the window. The teacher's teaching over here and my son is facing out the window. And so he's having to turn around in his chair to look at her. And I finally, at the end of the class, walked over and I said, hey, can I just, maybe I just asked the obvious, but why are the kids' chairs facing out the window if you're teaching over here? She's like, well, I'm not sure. I'm like, do you think that could add to maybe his attention problems? The simple fact that he has all of nature to look at. Kids are playing, recess is going on, his friends are waving hi, and he can't focus. Are you kidding me right now? But that's what happened. And, you know, I laughed at that, but at the same time, I do that a lot. You know, I find myself getting my eyes off the teacher. I find myself so distracted by what's going on in the world. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us very, very clearly, when you do that, it's a recipe for failure. You're taking your eyes off Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And when we can look to Jesus, we can find the help to get through what we're going through. It's going to take you to look into Jesus. Look to Jesus. Here's the last thing I want to finish up with today. Number 5 is to finish strong. Finish strong. You know, if you've ever watched the Olympics, if you've ever watched sprinters, if you've ever watched world-class sprinters, it's so awesome. But, you know, generally, you know, if it's a really good match, the one that wins is going to be the one that finishes strong. That, you know, everybody's fast at the beginning, but right there at the end of that race, especially if it's a really close race, you'll see that the one that wins is the one that bows that head at the very end. You have you ever seen that? They'll reach out and they'll bow their head. And, you know, this race is won not just to the swift, but to those that know how to bow their head. This is how we finish strong. It's going to be dependent upon your walk with Christ. How do we finish this thing? I don't know when this is all going to end, but I know this. We're closer to the end than we've ever been. I can promise you that. And this thing may all end in the next week or two, or it may drag out for a while. But either way, we have to finish strong. Notice it says Jesus, he scorned the shame of the cross. And then when he was finished with all of that, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And I love that it gives us a picture of Jesus sitting down because his work was complete in that moment. I love that as he's hanging on the cross, he says the word tetelestai, meaning it is finished. Mission accomplished. I am done. I finished everything that God has asked me to do. He finished strong. And if the story of Easter is about anything, it's about the completed work of Jesus himself on the cross. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding the church, remember what Jesus did for you and how he finished the work that God has called him to do. So don't quit now. Persevere. Push. Keep going. I'm so proud of each and every one of you that have shown that your faith is not just for show. Yeah. But when life gets tough, when it gets critical, when it really matters, your faith shows up. And I'm so proud to be a part of a generous and a giving and a loving church. People that don't just shrink back in fear, but find a way to get busy. I am extremely proud of our team. I'm extremely proud of the wins that come in every day. I get to see all the different things that are happening with our church members finding ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I love that. There's nothing that brings me more joy than to see my church not shrinking back in fear, not giving up, but persevering. Persevering. We know how to get through this. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we see these words that were given to the early church that were stuck in a quarantine themselves. And we say, you know what? I've got something in common with you now. We know what it's like to be afraid. We know what it's like to have to look to Jesus and watch this faith that we've been talking about actually be something that we have to walk out. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your perseverance. It's been an amazing ride. And I think This thing's going to be over before you know it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm so glad that it's not just a train coming back at us, right? It's going to end. You know, I believe with all my heart that those Christians that were in such a place of confusion, that when that finally broke, when they realized that Jesus coming back from the dead wasn't just a rumor, when they saw him, there was a party. There was an incredible party. And I promise you this, when all this is over, there's going to be a party like you would not believe. People are going to be meeting each other, hugging each other. People that didn't even like each other are going to be like, oh, sorry, I've missed you. I never thought I would say those words, but I've missed you. And you know, at the end of all things, when your life is over, there's something waiting for us on the other side. And if you know Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, there is a party that is waiting for you. A great cloud of witnesses that have been cheering you on from the time that you started this journey till the very end. They're cheering us on, saying, look to Jesus. This will end. You know, Jesus didn't just die for us to live pain-free lives, but he died to show us that there is purpose in our pain. There's purpose there. And I want to encourage you to not just waste this time that God has given us. Even if you're suffering, I promise you, the Bible knows what it's like. Lots of people in the Bible have walked through a lot of suffering. You're not alone. I get it. But there's still encouragement. There's still joy waiting on the other side. There's still something to lift your head up about. I believe that God wants to get you through this. And he doesn't want to waste this pain that many of you are walking through. You know, we get reports every week of the things that are happening in people's lives, and some of them are wonderful, and some of them, hey, they're not good. But these are opportunities for God to show up and to show off and to do what only he can do. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing God. He is still a miracle-working God. You just can't give up. You never give up. Push. Persevere. Keep going. This won't last forever. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just stay in the grave and just give his life. No, he got up and that stone was rolled away. And it wasn't rolled away to keep Jesus in or to let Jesus out. That stone was rolled away so that we could come in and experience his glory, the power of his resurrection. That stone wasn't keeping Jesus back. It's keeping us from getting to him. I love the beautiful words of God that tell us in his word that he has now made a way for us to come boldly into the presence of God. You know, without that cross, we have to go through some other way. Because of the cross, because of the grave, because that stone was rolled away, because Jesus rose from the dead, we have complete access to the Father. We are joint heirs with Christ, the scripture says. That means that we've got all the rights that Jesus had. We can come boldly and ask God for whatever help that we may need. You know, I know that there are plenty of people that are watching this that you need some help. You're tired. You're struggling. And if we can just be honest with each other for just a moment, it's not been just the best time. I get it. I know. And so does Jesus. Have you talked to him? I want you to understand that you have a God that loves you immensely. He cares about what you're walking through. And he wants you to finish strong. Talk to him. Turn your eyes on Jesus. He wants to help you. I need you to believe that. I want to pray for every single one that's watching this online. I want to thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you like, comment, and share. And as we're praying, if you would do me a favor right where you are, what I like to do when someone prays for me is just, I like to just open up my hands as if someone was handing me a gift. I think this is an important time. If you've never done that, it's not weird. You're quarantined anyway. But just do me a favor. Open up your hands. I like to just set them on my knees and just open myself up to whatever God wants to give me. I want to pray for you right where you are. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I just pray for every one of my friends. Lord, those that are watching this today. Father, on this special of Sundays, Lord, this Easter that I will never forget, where things are not normal, where everyone on this planet is walking through some sort of trial. Lord, I pray that you would be nearer to them than you have ever been. I pray that you would come through and provide for them in ways that they could not possibly have provided for themselves. That they would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are with them, you are for them, you are madly in love with them. I pray that they would know it, that they would be confident that my God has got me. I pray that they would feel you right now, right where they are. Lord, I pray that the same words that you spoke to the church would be real and true for them, that you would get them through what they're going through. And I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close out with one scripture from 1 Peter 4. And I think it will take on some new meaning as you're walking through a trial. It says, "But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." It's a powerful scripture. Tell us that sufferings have a point and that there's joy on the other side of this. You know, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if He's never been the Lord and Savior of your life, this is the perfect time for you to ask Him to come into your heart. I want you to know that I was in the same place. My life was a mess, and I needed Jesus. I needed Him to help me. And I came to the end of myself. I didn't know how to ask Him to come into my heart, but somebody loved me enough to help me, and it changed me forever. And if that's you and you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, or maybe you've been away from God and you need to come home, right where you are, would you just pray with me? I'll help you, just like somebody helped me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, "Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. Come on, pray with me. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me." Now tell Him this. Say, "I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I give it to You. Thank You for what You did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so incredibly proud of you. Would you do me a favor and would you text us? Would you text the words, "I prayed" to 94090. I prayed, all one word, to 94090. I would love to just hear a report of those of you that just asked Christ to come into your heart, or maybe you just came back to Him. Please send us a message. Let us know how you're doing. We would love to contact you and celebrate what just happened inside of your heart. Don't forget to like, to comment, to share this video, to make sure as many people as possible hear the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. Yes. We have a reason to celebrate. Even if it's not normal, Jesus is still alive and He's worshiping. Yeah. I love you all so much. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Easter afternoon.